Budget Family. This is Bob Silva sitting here, and I'd like to say with Brian Andrews, but he's not, because Brian is here but sitting in his home, and I'm here sitting in my home. Because exactly. The quarantine situation. Brian, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. It's this afternoon now, and we're doing what we can to make this work. We're recording on a phone. Bob's in his home office, and I'm in my home office. So this is unique.
Well, it's a brave new world with uncharted waters, and we're just going to have to get through it as best we can. Why don't we start this podcast with a prayer?
I think that's a great idea, Bob.
All right. Heavenly Father, please join with us today as we try to put something together for our family, our church family, to hear about. And just hear our voices and understand that we're trying to stay close to you and draw close to you, Father. Yes. And we want this to be an uplifting time, an encouraging time. We ask your Holy Spirit to be with us in this podcast and be with those who listen to it so that we can stay close to you, Father, and not worry about anything that's going on with quarantines or anything else that's happening in the world, because we're your children and because we have faith in you. And we ask you to hear this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob.
Well, today, Brian, we thought we'd talk a little bit about prayer, specifically prayer in relation to the situation we're in.
Right.
But first, maybe we should update that situation a little. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we should. I mean, if we're going to talk about prayer in relation to the situation we're in, we sure need to talk about the situation we're in. So the latest thing that we've got is, as of today, or as of this morning, or late last night, but as of today, we're in a full mandated home quarantine. You're not supposed to leave your house at all, except within a certain 2-hour range, I believe, that everyone's been given based on their IDs. You're allowed to leave only to go, it says, to do banking, to get groceries, and to get medical supplies or for a medical emergency. But it's all specifically for needs. It's not we can get out and, I think somebody used the example, can we get out and walk our dogs? And the answer to that was no. It's not a time to get out and walk your dogs or bike or exercise or anything like that. And the police are going to be making sure that, I guess, that we receive citations and fines if we are doing that. So it's the government's plan and will, so to speak, that we don't get out. And so we're in a kind of uncharted, unprecedented territories where we're stuck in our homes.
That's a difficult situation for a lot of people. I mean, if you have a large property, that might be one thing where you can do something, but a lot of people live in apartments.
Right.
And that's going to be a very, very restricting situation for a lot of them, and so
absolutely,
it's difficult.
Yeah, I mean, we've got, you hear different conflicting reports, and so I don't comment, I don't want to comment on anything that's not official or mandated or anything like that, but I had our landlord said, we're not even supposed to, we live down by Chopsticks, we've got a park, our front yard is a parking lot, and Addie goes out and plays in her front yard or her parking lot, every day, a couple of times a day, in fact, and our landlord said, we're not even supposed to go down into the parking lot. But then I have been told by others, well, it's private property, so we can. And then others say, well, you're not supposed to. And, so it's a difficult situation. And I did go out with her yesterday afternoon. But explain to a 2-year-old that you're in home quarantine and you can't get out and you can't go do things and can't go for walks. And, it's challenging.
And the country, it's an evolutionary process. The country is really struggling, you can tell. And they're putting in stricter and stricter measures, trying to stop people from getting sick. So their motivation is correct.
Right.
But they're maybe a little disorganized in how they're doing it, because there's no playbook for this. I mean,
right.
This morning when these welders showed up unexpectedly, I asked them how they got through the police checkpoint. And basically they said the police were kind of eyeing them and asking what are they doing, and they had to kind of talk their way through and tell them, well, they had to go pick up the equipment from their last job, so they sort of had to give some falsehoods to the police just to get through the police checkpoint. So, but the key is the police are checking. They are asking people. They are looking at IDs, and so they're serious about it. But it's an evolution because they don't really have a playbook to work with, so they're going to kind of fumble their way through for a while.
Right. Yeah. And I just got done, talking with my wife Rachel. about, you know, what's this, you know, practically, what's it look like for us? What are the implications? And, you know, Rachel gets out with Addie, as many of you listening get out and go for walks and go do, you know, a variety of social fellowship oriented things, even here in the last couple of weeks, when it's been kind of on pause or been a little more controlled, we've still been able to get out and exercise and do some things like that. And so I was explaining to Rachel, you know, for sure, kind of like you said, you had some workers show up unexpectedly today at your house, and they kind of had to talk their way and kind of lie their way, in a sense, through to be able to get there. And I'm explaining with Rachel, saying, you know, I don't think God wants us to lie. And I don't think he wants us to plan ahead of time to premeditatively say, well, if they ask me, well, then I'll lie. You know, to have that mindset, I don't think that's what God wants. And just like we said last week, you know, God does want us to follow the authorities that he's placed over us. And so he is ruling and reigning sovereignly over all the authorities. And we preached on this on Sunday. And so that which is happening right now that we don't like, some of us do like it, some of us don't like it, you know, different aspects of it anyway, it's actually for our good. And so, Bob, I believe you and I are choosing to see this is God's desire, this is his plan, and it's for our highest, greatest good.
Yes, we have to be confident in that. That's where faith comes in. We have to have full confidence and assurance that our God is in control, and he's in control of the world as well as he's controlling our lives. And so there should be no panic, because panic indicates a lack of faith. And we are people of strong faith. We are people that he has asked to be bold in this world and not weak and timid.
Right. And so to finish my thought from just a minute ago, I realized I didn't conclude what I was thinking. You know, if the plan for Rachel and Addie is to just get out and drive around and get some fresh air, maybe go over and see the grandparents, you know, I believe God's saying no. If the plan is to go shop and get groceries and do the things that the government is saying we're allowed to do, then I think that's fine. But if we're going to say, well, I'll kind of deceive the authorities and tell them, I'm, you know, if they pull me over, I'll say, yeah, I'm going to get groceries, but in reality, we're not. We're just going to, you know, hang out with our friends and you know, continue on business as usual. I think, and this, I said these exact words to Rachel. I think. And she agreed, praise God. I think if we do that, we kind of sort of see how we can play the system here. I think we're going to reap the consequences.
I would agree with that. I think our God is very clear that he wants us to be respectful for authorities. And we also want to be respectful to our neighbors, more than just our Christian brothers, but all our neighbors, all the people in our community, which is why it's very important, if you're going to be interacting, even in the grocery stores, that you're taking precautions not just for yourself, but for the person who's going to be walking by you.
Right.
I mean, it's really important that people are wearing some sort of mask. It could be a scarf. It can be anything. It's not a matter of just you're having faith, and so you have strong faith in God, so you don't believe you're going to get sick. But you could possibly be an unknown carrier.
Right.
And you don't want to be spreading that to other people. And so it's strongly advisable that any time we're out among people that everyone is wearing some sort of mouth or breathing protection.
Right. Yeah. I mean, what we're advising is, officially, you know, Bob and Brian are saying let's follow the recommended guidelines that the government and a variety of other, you know, other governments and other health organizations around the world and professionals and so forth. They've put forth these, here's how you should do it. So it includes a variety of things, a variety of hygiene habits and ways of taking care of yourself and protecting yourself and others. And so we're recommending we, you know, to the best of our ability, follow those with utmost care and concern and love for our neighbor.
Well, I think that's all good advice. And I think our Lord wants us to be cooperative with authorities and be careful, not just about our own health, but about the health of others. I think it's worth mentioning that we're having this conversation on a new resource called Zoom.
Right.
Brian, you introduced me to this. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Okay, yeah. Well, obviously, I've been staying in contact with my family and my family's church, the church I came from in the States before I moved here. And their church has grown. They're kind of a mega church at this point. And obviously, you know, every church is different in the way they're using resources, but my mom is working from home. She works for the university in the city that she lives in, and they're having the whole office is having conference calls, video conference calls on Zoom every morning at 8:30. And the church that we go to, the leadership there had encouraged their small groups to use this resource, and they are. And so my mom and my stepdad, Joel, they're in a small group, and their small group leader got them set up using Zoom. And so every Monday night, they have small group over Zoom. And you can have up to 100 people on a group call. So, you know, obviously we would never use 100 people on a group call, but you can have an entire small group and see them all on a screen, kind of like the Brady Bunch, the way that used to be displayed. You know, you see the grid kind of in front of you. You see everybody's face. And so that's it seems to be an incredible resource. It's free to use for group calling up to a certain number of minutes. I think with group calling up to 100 people, you can go for 40 minutes. But you know, with less, you can, you know, with one-on-one, you can go for as long as you want. And I haven't looked into the upgrade to be able to do, you know, mass group calling for even longer, which is something we may consider for our small groups or something like that. But you know, the bottom line here is that Zoom is a really good resource. It's kind of like Skype, but I've used Skype before. I like Zoom better. I'm new to this, as some of you are, and I'm sure some of y'all have even better experience. And if you do, we would appreciate your input, because this is new to us.
The first time I heard about Zoom was today when you told me about it. I can't believe how easy it was to get on. I simply went and found the Zoom video conferencing website. It asked for my basic information, name and email address. It sent me an email, which I clicked on. It activated me, set me up, and asked me, did a test message with me, and then asked if I wanted to invite someone into a conversation. And I sent you an email, and before I knew it, we were talking on Zoom. And
you sound like a paid advertiser there, where you're sharing a testimony on behalf of Zoom. It's the Radio Bob's coming through.
Well, I don't know.
I can't believe how easy it was to sign up in just a few simple clicks.
That's right. Buy now and avoid the rush.
Oh, no. It really was easy. I also set it up this morning, and it took me all of 2 minutes.
Well, I shared with you how much problems I've had with Skype, and so, you know, setting Zoom up was so much easier that I was impressed by it. And that's what we're talking on right now. Mm-hmm. So here we have a resource that we're sharing with everyone, because we really want to encourage everybody to stay in touch. Mm-hmm. We may be able to make this work for small groups. We may should be able to make this work maybe even for Bible studies. I don't have a computer screen with a camera, so Brian's not looking at my lovely face right now, but he is hearing my voice, and I could possibly get a camera so we could set this up.
Right.
And we could possibly put it together for Bible study groups and other things, but we want to encourage all of you out there to start using it yourself.
Yeah. And really what I want to encourage is, you know, the reality is Bob and I cannot do everything. I mean, we can't be everywhere. We can't stay in contact with everybody. And as much as we wish we could, we can't. And God does have other things for us in addition to this podcast, in addition to keeping up with everybody. There's a lot we're trying to do. There's a whole lot going on behind the scenes right now with Bob and me and Tammy and some others, trying to keep everything as functional as it is, even despite it being incredibly interrupted. And so, you know, one thing I want to encourage, and I know you're with me here, Bob, is we'd love to see not just quote-unquote official small groups, you know, the Tuesday small group and the Wednesday small group or our Spanish small group. We'd love to see just the church being the church. I don't know how to make it more basic than that or more plain. I'd love to see people saying, you know, I'm going to take initiative here, and I'm going to set up just a time of, you know, a 30-minute free, you know, if it's under 40 minutes, it's free, a 30-minute time where I'm just going to get together with some of my friends and people in the church and maybe people I don't know real well, but I'm going to invite them anyway. And we're all going to get together and just fellowship. And maybe we're going to share prayer requests and spend some time praying for one another and just staying in contact. It doesn't have to be a Bible study. We don't have to be officially opening the Word of God and studying it. Of course, we could talk about those things, but what's really needed is just interaction, just fellowship. We need to stay in contact with one another, and you and I are trying to do that. We're trying to talk to people on the phone and keep up with people, you know, different people each day, but there's just no way to do this on the scale that you would at a Bible study that has 30 people present, but I think Zoom can provide the ability to do something like that.
That's the encouragement we're giving everyone today. We're asking you to, you know, reach out, use the available resources, Skype, Zoom, whatever you have that you're comfortable with, and reach out to others who are in the church family so that we can stay in contact with each other. I know right now everyone is feeling a great disconnect.
Right.
And that's normal. But there is no reason why we can't reconnect using available resources. It's important not just for yourself, it's important for others to hear.
Absolutely.
Each of us. And to also just to stay in contact if one of us is in need of prayer. This is a time where it's even more important that we should be talking about prayer and offering prayer than ever before, because we're in uncharted waters with a global pandemic and people are asking about prayer. The
right.
President is asking us to pray. And we've seen some crazy charismatic samples of prayers lately. And Brian, can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, you know, when we started talking about this 2 weeks ago, or maybe just over 2 weeks ago now, the idea of doing a podcast or doing something, you know, I don't even think we were using the word podcast back then, but something where we're staying in connection, we're providing something for people to listen to us. You know, I cited this in my sermon on Sunday, and so most of you are aware of this, but I have received an incredible amount of suggested prayers, or here's some, you know, I don't know what you call them, little posts on Facebook that have, you know, kind of say these things and pray these words. And, you know, it's real prosperity type message, that kind of approach, real new age approach. And obviously, I don't share the same sentiment at all, and neither do you. And so that's, you know, I shared on Sunday, I've had so many people that either take things out of context, or they're suggesting we pray things in this real overtly charismatic way that kind of leads to, well, you know, if you and I just do these right things and kind of pray in the right way, well, then we can stop the coronavirus. And I'm saying that's not true at all. And does God want to work through our prayers? Absolutely. You know, we just preached on that. He does want us to be praying. He does want to use our prayers and work through our prayers to accomplish His sovereign will. But his sovereign will is not virus be gone, all be healed. He often uses the virus and will use the continuation of the virus and will use people dying and people getting sick and people recovering, some not. And it's not the blanket, well, if we just, you know, if we pray this prayer, we say these words, we can tap into quote unquote healing anointings, hidden spiritual energies that are buried within the earth. I mean, I've heard some of the weirdest stuff over the last few weeks that's being shared around by Christians. Legitimate born-again believers are kind of buying into this stuff and passing it around and, you know, forward this to 10 people if you really want to see the, you know, the virus, you know, eradicated. And I'm saying this is not right. You know, this is not – I don't believe this is of God. I don't believe this is the way that I think God wants us to pray. Certainly we can pray for healing, and He does want us to pray for healing. But there's so much more than just praying for healing, and we're sure not going to do it by tapping into hidden energies and other earthly related, kind of other spiritual, religious type things. God gives us all kinds of instruction in His Word, how to pray and how He wants us to pray and what He wants our focus to be. And some of that we talked about on Sunday, and some of that I'd like for us to talk about right now. So what are you thinking, Bob? Yeah. What do you think, Bob? Sorry, family. We just had a little technical issue there that popped up. I paused the recording, and we're back live with Bob. So Bob, I just shared about the some of the stuff that I've been hearing, some of the stuff I've been reading that's been passed around that really I don't think is from God. I really think to me, I'm going, this doesn't feel right. It doesn't sound right. What do you have to say about some of that?
Well, I agree. And that's, unfortunately, it's becoming more and more common situation. It's because people are focused on themselves and the world instead of on their Lord and Savior. You know, we're in, most of us believe we're in end times, and I like to think that in situations like this, people would focus more on their God. But when they get scared, I think too many times they go the wrong way, the wrong direction. We're supposed to be worshiping the Father in spirit and truth. In fact, in John 4:23, it says, "The hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth."
Right.
the only way we can worship the Father in spirit and in truth is to be in the Spirit, is to be in the Word, which is the truth that God gives us. It's the focus on Him instead of on the world and on our own wants and desires.
Yeah, and I think it's just like you said, when difficulties, and not to... the word escapes me. I'm not trying to put down or minimize. That's the word. I'm not trying to minimize suffering, difficulty, pain, or tribulation, or trials, or anything like that, because those are not to be minimized. But when those come, so often there's a temptation. Not that we all succumb to it, but there is a temptation to just kind of get me out, and I'll do anything. I'll try anything. I'll pray this thing, I'll listen to this podcast, I'll watch this video, and oftentimes those, in our desperation, we reach out to things that are not of God, and in our desperation or in our pain, our discernment kind of disappears, and we get deceived by the enemy.
Exactly, and the enemy is so good at deception, and so many people become desperate in times like this, that the enemy, this right now, in the situation that is going on around the world, is the devil's playground. He has more fodder and things to work with right now than he's ever had before, because he has an entire world in fear.
Right.
And so we have to be careful. We have to stay focused on the Lord. We have to remember that when we give our prayers, and he wants to hear our prayers. If we're suffering, he wants us to pray for his help. But in all things, it must be according to His will,
right,
and not ours.
Yeah, that's such a good word, Bob. I think that's just not something that's really taught well. You know, I don't know that I've really been taught that overtly in church before or anything like that. But the idea of praying, here's how you should pray if it's the will of God, and then we pray. And so it doesn't mean we have to say these words wrote in this fashion. But what it means is exactly what you just said, that we're going to pray according to the will of God. And so I may pray for healing, but then I'm saying, Lord, if you're willing, would you pray? In fact, I say that even when I bless the food, when I pray for Addie before she eats, or pray for her in the evening, I'm saying, you know, if you're willing, Lord, would you bless the food? And it's just something so simple, but it's a mindset that I have, that I think God wants us to have, of your will be done, not just mine. Certainly I'm going to pray things, and he wants us to pray things. He gives us desires and things to pray. And the more and more we become conformed to his image, the more and more his desires and his will coincides with our own will. But he does have a desire for us to pray, saying, Lord, you are God, I'm not. Your will be done, not mine. However, if it's your will, here's what I'm asking. Here's what I'm praying for. And so kind of in that line of thinking, Bob, you and I have used the ACTS prayer model before, correct?
Yes, I think about a year and a half ago, we actually presented this to, I can't remember if it was the small groups or where it was at, but we actually presented the ACTS prayer model.
Yeah, this was, to my recollection, man, we're getting old. This was 2 years ago, maybe just over 2 years ago, back in, maybe even more. I want to say this was in, like, late 2017. When did you get here? It was late 2017, right?
It would be the middle of 2017.
Right. So maybe it was late 2017. Maybe it was early 2018. But I remember we did a few classes in our small groups, both Tuesday and Wednesday, small groups on prayer. And you and I were in the same small group at the time. And I was you and I were both teaching on this. We were assigned, each person was assigned a portion of it. And so I think you did supplication and I did confession, or vice versa, something like that. But we've used this. And I think, you know, you can comment on this, Bob. I'm not saying this is the end all be all. This is what you do. This is how you do it. Do it this way. All I'm saying is I think this is a good model that God can tweak for each one of us.
And to be clear, ACTS is an acronym for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. It's a way of remembering, a good way of going to our Father in our prayers, so that we're not asking for things before we've adored Him and worshiped Him, before we've confessed our sins and made ourselves clean, before we thank Him for everything in our lives.
Right.
It gives us direction and kind of helps us to remember to the important thing is to come to our Lord first in our hearts before we start simply saying, Lord, I need this or I need that.
Or I want this or I want that.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's a good, to me, it's just a good reminder. And I sure don't go through the Acts model every time I pray. I mean, I just, sometimes I blow it and I go straight to supplication. You know, and sometimes I don't ever get to supplication. It's just thanksgiving or adoration, you know. So there's not a, you know, check all four of these boxes every time. That's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is I think it's a good way to have a healthy perspective, a healthy reminder of kind of the priority here when we're praying. How should we pray? And that's what we want to talk about today a little bit how.
It's not a complicated thing either when you think about it. Adoration is simply an act of praise and worship.
Exactly.
It's just coming to our Lord and opening up our hearts and telling him how much he means to us, how much we honor him, how much we praise him and love him. We thank him for his wisdom, his goodness, his mercy, his strength. Adoration is just opening ourselves up to our God and saying, you know, you're a loving God. You're always with me. Please stay with me, Father. I mean, I have confidence in you and I trust you because you are the leader and the creator of all things. It's really just a simple matter of adoration is just opening up your heart and thanking and talking to your God of how much he means to you in your life.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, the lines between adoration and thanksgiving get kind of blurred in a sense, and I think that's okay. But, you know, to me, the word that kind of sticks in my mind associated with adoration would be worship.
Yes.
Anything that I'm praising him for, I'm worshiping, it may just be his various attributes of God that I'm saying, oh, I praise you in this situation for your omnipotence and your omniscience. You know all things, and you're in complete control, total power. You alone have infinite, complete, total power and authority, wisdom, and on and on and on. That helps me so much. And I've prayed those things, worshiped God for those things so often here just in the last few weeks. And it's not been limited to these few weeks, but I've definitely been praising him for his omniscience and his omnipotence more and his sovereignty more the last few weeks as a result of the pandemic.
And it's important because God needs to come first in all things. He needs to be preeminent in our lives and in everything. It's the reason why in Matthew 22, he says the first and greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. It's the
right.
First and greatest commandment, and that's why adoration is a good thing to start with, a good model for all prayers.
Absolutely, yeah, I totally agree. And then, so following in this Acts ACTS prayer model, the next one is the C, that's confession. And confession is really, you know, it's what we do every Sunday morning. We have this time of, we call it a prayer of cleansing. It's literally a time where we pray, which prayer is communication with God. It's not just saying words or reading a script or anything like that. This is time between you and the Lord where you're communicating to him, you're receiving from him, you're listening to him. And confession, it's all about let me confess sins that I'm aware of, but also bring to my mind if there's anything that I'm not aware of that I need to confess. And we do a good job, I think, of emphasizing that each week because I need to confess this so that I can experience your washing, your cleansing. And that's God's desire is that we do confess it, that we actually acknowledge our sin before him regularly. So that we can experience a cleansing from him in a supernatural way. Wouldn't you say so, Bob?
Yeah, I agree completely. I really love what Psalm 32 says about it. It says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden from you. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Amen. That's one of my favorite Psalms of David. I love Psalm 32. And it's such a good, I mean, that it's like, let's do exactly what David does in these verses. If we just look at the whole Psalm of 32 or the first 9 verses or so, I mean, it's a perfect model to follow. And it's a good example of where David says, you know, I'm not going to do it. And then he experiences the consequences. And then finally, he's like, oh my goodness, you know, this is toil. I mean, this is a burden that I'm carrying around. And finally, he confesses it. He says, here, I will confess. And then he goes on in the next few verses to explain the great forgiveness and the freedom and the weight that's lifted off of him and his connection with the Lord being restored. And there's some truth there. I mean, there is some truth to if we say in our rebellion and in our hardness, no, I'm not going to confess my sin, I'm not going to deal with it. The word Isaiah 59 specifically tells us that our sins, our iniquities separate us. It creates, I say on Sundays often, it creates a barrier between us and the Lord. In some sense, even now, even as regenerate, redeemed people, there's something there where we need to. I'm not saying if we don't confess our sins, right before we die with unconfessed sin, we're going to hell. No, that's totally false. But what I'm saying is there's something here where God really does want us to confess, and that brings us into a right relationship, a restored, redeemed relationship with Him, where we can really praise, continue adoring Him, and jump into thanksgiving in a way that we can't if we haven't done this confession part.
Yeah, I agree. David is a wonderful model for us to learn about prayer from, because in many of his prayers, I wouldn't say all of them, but most of them, you will always see him first worshiping God, then confessing his sin, and then thanking the Lord before he does any kind of supplication.
Right.
His Psalm 118, "You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you." That's his thanksgiving to the Lord, which is the T in Acts. And it's just thanking God for what he has done in your life and going over the blessings he's given you, the faithfulness in keeping his promises, your family, your friends, your circumstances in life. You give all glory and thanksgiving to the Father for what he has done for you. And in my opinion, the most important thing to thank him for is the understanding and knowledge and faith that he has given you in his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah. Oh, I totally agree, Bob. And I think there's something supernatural about Thanksgiving. I think we all know we're supposed to be thankful, and we're supposed to kind of live thankful lives and exude Thanksgiving in the way that we act and respond and think. We all know that. We all get that. And yet, I think if I say, okay, write down three things right now where you're just totally overwhelmed with Thanksgiving for what God's done with you over the last week. And you can't say salvation because, we're all going to say that. That's a given. I'm talking the last week, real specifically. And then a lot of us will sit there and we ponder, well, I got to really think about it. And that grieves me that we really got to think about it, because we've not been thinking about it for the last week then, if we've really got to think about it right now. And so I think God really wants us to have a mindset that's really focused often on thanking him for things. And if we have a mindset that's constantly thinking, thank, thanking him, gratitude for what he's doing, what he's done, answered prayers and so on, it really shapes our minds. It really helps us to see, even in, especially in times that we're in right now, oh, wait, I really can still be thankful. Oh, there are things that he's doing. I mean, it enables us to kind of train our minds to see all the things that he's doing all around us and within us all the time. I mean, he is so active and worthy of our praise and worthy of our thanks and our gratitude all the time, not just for the big things like salvation or getting a job or, major things that happen, but just every single day. There's so much that goes on that I think goes unnoticed by the vast majority of Christians. And I think that grieves the Lord.
I would agree completely. I think too many times we simply go about our day sort of in almost numb to the fact that the Lord is there with us.
Right.
He's there right next to us. He never leaves our side. It would be almost worthwhile to have some sort of physical reminder so that you could always turn and say, oh, that's right, God is with me right now. God is with me all the time. And watching my footsteps, and I need to be communicate with him. I need to thank him for each step of my life.
Right.
And so I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
That takes us to the last part of Acts, which is the S, which is supplication.
Right.
And here is where, we can come to the Lord and ask for what is in our hearts. And the best way, I think, to start with this, Brian, and maybe you can help me with this, is to ask yourself, is what you're going to ask the Lord in line with his will?
Right. Absolutely.
So to understand that, to know that, you have to understand the will of God. You can't do that unless you understand Scripture.
Right.
Because it's Scripture that tells us what the mind and the will of our God is for His for the world and for each one of us. Would you agree?
Absolutely. You know, without the Word, we're not going to be able to develop minds. We're not going to have renewed minds that are in line with Christ. That's how we. It's primarily through the Word that our minds are going to be conformed into the image in our lives, our actions, and so forth. Our thoughts are going to be conformed into the image of His Son, into the image of Christ. And so we need the Word. We need a real good understanding of the Word. We need to be soaking in it, bathing in it, meditating on it, studying it, cherishing it, so that we can know who God is. And the more and the deeper we get to know who God is more intimately, more deeply, on another level, we get to know who He is, and He begins to share with us that which is important to Him. And we get to connect with Him on this level that's so much more than just kind of the surfacey, here's where most Christians exist mindset. But rather, we know Him deeply. He's sharing things with us that He's not sharing with everybody. He's sharing things with us that are important to Him. And then we're praying along with those things. And so to me, and this what I'm about to say goes into a whole new study that we're not going to do. But to me, one thing that I teach and we teach with respect to intercessory prayer, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, it says He lives to make intercession for us. I mean, that's just, that blows my mind in and of itself. That's a whole another thing. But the Lord Jesus Christ is actively interceding for us, and it's His great joy to do it. And so to me, the best intercessory prayer we could possibly do for anyone or anything at any time is to tap into the Lord Jesus Christ's intercessory prayer, because He is praying. And so we tap into His prayer and we pray what He's praying, or we pray in a similar fashion to what He's praying. We pray along according to His will, the same way He's praying. And so if our goal is to, okay, I want to pray in the same way that Christ is praying right now. I want to pray for myself the way Christ is praying for me. I want to pray for my church and for my church leaders and for the people all around the world and for governments and so forth. I want to pray for all these things in the same way that Christ is. And so if that's our goal, we can't possibly do that if we don't know Christ.
I couldn't agree more, brother. And when we do know the Lord and when we do know His Word, as Hebrews 4 says, we can then approach the throne of God with confidence.
Amen.
And that's how He wants His people. He doesn't want His people timid and in fear. He wants us to be out in the world boldly proclaiming Him and His message.
Right.
And you can't do that if you don't know the message.
Right.
And so, you know, we're encouraging everyone who hears this, everyone in our church. Prayer is so necessary right now. The world is being affected. Prayer is needed for this virus. It's needed for rulers, governments, presidents. Mm-hmm. Your church leaders need your prayers. And so, you know, you can use this model, this wonderful model that David so often used, of first worshiping your God in adoration, then confessing and opening up your heart and asking for forgiveness and repentance, and then thanking the Lord for the blessings of your life, and then going to Him in supplication, aligned with His will to ask the things and the desires of your heart. And we're asking everyone to go to the Lord in such a way and to do this on a daily and regular basis. There are people out there who are coming to us and saying, Bob and Brian, what should we be praying for? Well, this is what you should be praying for. And it's a good model for how you should be praying.
Right. No, I totally agree. And you know, kind of in that same vein, the president, I've been encouraged by this. You know, the Panamanian president here has shared multiple times, you know, he's said, you know, without God, we can't win this. He's actively called on churches, church leaders, you know, just the Christian brethren in the country to be in prayer for the country and for the leadership and for this, you know, everything to do with this virus. And obviously there's, you know, a million things we could pray with respect to the virus. And so he's actively asking for us to participate. And so, you know, Bob and I are saying, let's participate. You know, I'm not saying here's a specific day and time we've got to do it. You know, that I don't think you know, other than a personal discipline, there's no value there. But I'm saying let's commit as a church, as the brethren, as the church, not a church. Let's commit as the church to be praying for all the things that Jesus wants us to be praying for, which begins, it's not just me. Help me not to get sick. Amen. It's let me pray for the president of Panama. Let me pray for all the other rulers within Panama and all the other authorities and the medical staff. And I mean, it goes so far beyond the self-centered mentality to include all those that God is working with, working through. It includes local and global. We're not saying this is limited to Panama. This is a global thing and a local thing. And also we're saying, let's pray for church leaders. I mean, this is an unprecedented time. I mean, you and I have had our fair share of difficulties the last few weeks trying to keep things operational. And, you know, every church across the globe is dealing with the same problems. And so we need to be, from my perspective, we need to be praying for church leaders. As a church leader, I'm saying I greatly appreciate the prayers of our members. But I'm also saying let's continue in prayer for all the other churches and all the rest of, you know, the rest of the global church and our brothers and sisters around the world. They all need our prayers just as much as we need the prayers. And so let's continue praying for them.
Amen to that, brother. And let's also remember to thank our Lord that we live in a country where Christianity is still a vital part of the government.
Yes, amen, absolutely.
Well, this was a good conversation. We've got any miscellaneous things we need to discuss with our friends here listening before we leave?
Yeah, I got two things I'd like to add real fast. Danielle, I talked with Danielle Champ this morning. She said that she's really not receiving any intercessory prayer requests. And so I want to say, in case any have gone through the website or something, if we did have a time, we announced on Sunday where the site's forwarding email address stuff wasn't working for a few days or possibly a couple of weeks. And so if you have sent something to her and you've not heard any response, send it again. I don't think that's true, but if that's the case, please send it again. And then if not, I know there's people that need prayer. We all need prayer. I need prayer. And yet, you know, we're so in our humility or maybe in our pride, either or, we're slow to say, you know, I'd really like you to pray for me and here's how I'd like you to pray. And so I just want to encourage anyone who's listening that Danielle is actively saying, please send us requests. And the team is saying, please send us requests. I mean, we've committed to the Lord, you know, to be a part of this ministry and to be praying for you guys and interceding for you, but they don't have anything right now. So please reach out to Danielle with any prayer requests. And I've also asked Danielle to kind of reach out to a few as well. And then in addition to that, but still on the topic of prayer here, and I meant to mention this last week and I totally forgot, Bob Holsey has volunteered. He would like to keep doing the small group prayer requests. He was the one that kind of organized those, sent them out every week. And so he's going to keep doing that. And so anybody that's in the small group, and even if you're not in the small group, you know, I don't think Bob cares, and I sure don't care. Send Bob Holsey an email and share with him the prayer request if you want it to be shared with the small group. And he'll send it out to the 30-something people a part of the small groups and try to keep a weekly email going around. And I've asked Danielle to kind of do the same. Let's try to have a weekly email that goes out sharing prayer requests for both of these different ministries. So I just want to encourage our family to, you know, Bob and I are doing our best to connect with people, stay in contact with people, but we just can't do it all. And so we're requesting, I mean, we're begging of you to get in contact with us. Let us know how you're doing. Send us a message, send us an email, send us, you know, give us a phone call. But also let's stay in contact with Bob Holsey and with Danielle about prayer so that our family can be in prayer with one another.
Absolutely. Amen to that, brother. Well, we thank you all who are listening for being with Brian and I here this Wednesday, March 25th. And Pastor, would you close us in a prayer, please?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd be more than happy to. Well, Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for this this little ministry that you've started with Bob and I. And I'm grateful for the way it's taking shape. I'm grateful for the way that you've provided in our church. Even when we've gone from not having meetings to doing an audio recording to doing a live stream, and now we're back to audio recording because for this week, because we can't come together for the live stream with the home quarantine. And each time you've continued to provide and supply, even right now, we weren't sure 24 hours ago, we didn't know how we were going to do this podcast. And now we're kind of putting it together, recording through this new resource that I do believe you've provided for us. And so, Lord, we're just so grateful for you. We worship you. You are so worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our time. You are worthy of our devotion. You're worthy of our thanksgiving and our gratitude. I do pray that you would impact us. I pray that you would kind of poke us and help us to follow, not necessarily follow this model, kind of check these boxes, but I do pray that you would remind us to praise you and worship you when we pray, not just to jump straight to supplication and making our requests known. I pray that you would give us a heart and a mindset where we actually live our gratitude, to where we see what you're doing. I mean, you are literally with us, as Bob said, you are with us every step of the way. You are constant, and we just preached on Sunday, if you really are in control of every single molecule, every cell, everything, always, everywhere, I mean, that's intense. That's everywhere. And so you are constantly at work. And so I pray that you would enable us to see some of that. Obviously, we're never going to be able to see all of that. But I do pray that you would help us to see some of that and then prompt us to worship you and thank you as a result. And so I do pray you would just lead us with what we've discussed this morning or this afternoon. And I pray that you would prompt some in our family to begin maybe putting together some fellowship times, maybe using this resource Zoom. Also, I pray if there's anyone listening that really needs prayer, or if they say, no, I could use some, but I don't really need it, I pray you just kind of lead them to send in a prayer request anyway. We'd love to be praying for our family. That's what we want to do. We do want to stay close together. And so, Lord, I just commit this to you. I can commit this ministry to you. I commit these desires of ours, this heart to you. And I ask that you would rule over it. I pray you'd continue to provide. I pray that you would raise up people to volunteer, to lead, to take initiative in a variety of these different ways. And we look forward to seeing what you're going to do. I thank you for this time. I thank you for Bob's willingness to participate. I thank you for the way you've continued to faithfully lead us, give us things to talk about, lots more to talk about than we think we're going to talk about, it seems like. But we appreciate the opportunity to glorify you and honor you through this podcast. So we love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you again, BBF family, for listening to us. If anyone would like a written copy of the Acts prayer model, please email me. I'll be happy to send it to you. And signing off today with Pastor Brian. We'll see you again next week and, of course, in our live streaming this Sunday. Thank you, Brian.
All righty. Bye-bye.